This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Don't I sound like a pompous, arrogant, you know what?
Well, what's changed?
What's changed? With Brandon Coleman, he's never played right tackle before.
He's always been a left side of the line guy.
So to think that moving him to right tackle is
very
your solution.
Different. Very different. For anybody who's played offensive line, it's
extremely different, bro. Like, extremely different. So why would you want to put that challenge on his plate? Who's to say he's a better right tackle than Andrew Wiley? Huh?
Wiley's the if you look up the definition of fine.
He's average. Fine. Yes.
Andrew Wiley is, you see his picture.
100%. So to me, the idea, first of all, let's look at why you were wanting to upgrade the tackle spot in the first place. Because that's what makes this all make sense. I can't believe that I feel the need to hedge. Not even hedge, but like overly apologize or say that, hey, like, I'm not saying what John Kimes said is wrong. I'm not saying what anybody said is wrong. I'm just telling you what the right idea is and the right decision is. Boy, do I put my foot in my mouth. If you got to go back to the reason they moved him from left tackle or were looking to upgrade left tackle. And we know they were looking before the Tunsil trade, right? They went out and were prepared to offer Ronnie Stanley $23 million per. So clearly they looked like they needed an upgrade at that position. He gave up 10 sacks last year in pass pro. That was where he struggled a season ago. And when you go up against the decorated group of pass rushers that Brandon Coleman had to go up against last year, Micah Parsons, Miles Garrett, Za'Darius Smith, Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, Trey Hendrickson, Washington played their fair share of good defensive pass rushers last year. He struggled in pass pro. In the run game, right? In the run game, when he got his hands on you, it was over. I loved his ability to climb up to the second level. I loved him when he was out in space in the screen game. Like, that stuff's great. He struggles in pass pro. So, if he struggles in pass pro on the left side, why wouldn't he struggle in pass pro at right tackle? You're still out on an island. For as intriguing as the idea is, because I think anywhere you put him, I think he'll end up being a fine football player. But I think if you put him at guard, see, I don't want to limit his potential and limit the possibilities here. That's what I don't want to do. And I think putting him at right tackle, doesn't allow him to reach his potential, in my opinion. I think, okay, so I was wrong on that, by the way. Pre-game coverage gets going at 3 o'clock on the Team 980, so excuse me for that. Tip-off is at 3:30. But to me, like, why not allow him to be his best self? You put him inside at left guard, a position he's played before. And I think he's got all-pro potential as a guard. Not, as Max described Wiley, he can be fine. But at guard, I think he's got all-pro potential. Why put him on an island? Why put him on an island? And have him be in the same predicament he was in last year when he gave up a league-leading 10 sacks? Clearly, he's not a tackle in this league. I don't even want to say that, though. Let me walk that back. I wouldn't say clearly he's not a tackle in this league. Clearly, you're not confident in him as a left tackle. So why do you think just flipping him to the right side solves your problems? I don't like the thought process. But here's the other thing. I don't know if that really is the thought process because Adam Peters hasn't said it. Dan Quinn hasn't said it. But John Kimes dropped a breadcrumb. So I would have to assume he's hearing that from someone. I hope that's not what he's hearing because that's not what I want to hear. If I'm being open, honest, and transparent about the situation. If Washington moves Brandon Coleman to right tackle, were you going to go with Nate Herbig and Nick Allegretti at guard? Then who's your swing tackle? You see what I'm saying? Well, I guess technically, because I was saying this about the guard spot, I would want to beef up. If I was going to move Coleman to guard, which would be my plan, and in response to that, I am beefing up the interior depth on my offensive line because he could be my starting guard as well as my swing tackle, right? If someone gets hurt at tackle, if you have enough guard depth, Coleman can go to said tackle spot. You replace Coleman with a guard. If you put Coleman at right tackle, you would have to do some major shuffling if you had an injury, I feel like. Not really, though. Because if Tunsil goes down, God forbid, Coleman switches to the right, Wiley comes in, and then boom. If Wiley goes, okay. Okay, I see how it makes sense. But I just don't think it's the best position for him going into next year. I think there is so much upside with him at the guard spot. I keep saying it. You can say I'm hyperbolizing it. I can care less. I think he has all pro potential at that position. When he gets his hands on you, we saw it last year, they're like vice grips. The only thing I worry about, potentially, with Brandon Coleman at guard, is does he have the lower body strength to anchor? When opposing three techs and noses are going to bull rush him. That's my thing. Does he have the strength to anchor? And I guess we will ultimately find out that question when it comes down to Brandon Coleman. Final word on him, I've reiterated, I'll say it again. He'll be a fine tackle, I guess, at right tackle. He'll be okay. I think he's got all pro potential, though, at the guard position. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will look at the three massive decisions that Washington has to make between now and the start of the draft. That's next on The Fan.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast.
With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
So rocking and rolling right here on this Saturday afternoon, riding around the DMV. We'll take you up to noon Eastern time. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, will take you from there. Leno Willingham, Mad Max behind the glass, taking your calls at 1-800-636-1067. Plenty of college basketball on tap here this afternoon as it is conference tournament season across the college basketball landscape. We got the SEC semifinal, the Big Ten semifinal. So, a lot to pay attention to.
The A-10 semifinal.
The A-10 semifinal as well.
Disrespect my Rams like that.
I apologize for disrespecting said Rams. VCU, Loyola Chicago. That tips off at 1 o'clock over at Cap One Arena. The big main event here in the DMV is what I would call it. Terps taking on Michigan. That is at 3:30 Eastern time. Pregame coverage gets going at 3 o'clock on our sister station, the Team 980. Johnny Holiday, Chris Nockey on the play-by-play call coming up at 3:30. Michigan, as we talked about to start the show, we've mentioned periodically here, they've got the duo on the interior with Danny Wolfe and Vlad Goldin that I think could give Maryland some trouble. We will see. Ultimately, whether or not I'm just talking, because that could be the case. But I think the size that they have on the interior, we know what Danny Wolfe is capable of. I understand he's somebody that stands 7 feet tall, but a 7 footer in a guard or a guard in a 7 footer's body is how I would describe Danny Wolfe in terms of the skill that he has. Step back three after step back three. I mean, he is a problem. And him and his tag team partner, Vlad Goldin, if those two get it going, which they did last night against Purdue, those two get it going, Michigan going to be an extremely tough out. Make sure you keep it locked, though, right here on the Team 980 all afternoon long. As I mentioned, starting at 3 o'clock, our coverage of Maryland Terrapins basketball as they take on Michigan in the Big Ten semis. A lot more to get to, though. We'll get back into the NBA before we get out of here. We'll let you hear from Myles Garrett before we get out of here. He is no good. He is, I don't even know what to call him. He's a fraud. I guess that's the best way I can describe Myles.
Myles?
He's a fraud.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
For him to go on Radio Row and act the damn fool the way that he did, telling everybody, oh, it's not about the money.
It's about winning.
It's about winning.
Winning, damn it.
But, oh, Kenny Pickett, though. They traded for him, though.
Super Bowl winning quarterback Kenny Pickett.
Oh, Max, I mean, that's ridiculous. The fact that he gets to call himself that.
Hey, he saw the field.
Well, if he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, then that means I'm trying to make some, I'm trying to make an equally as whack comparison. I work with Grant Paulson and J.P. Finley and Brian Mitchell and the Junkies. I'm a Hall of Fame radio host teammate.
Yeah.
You pick up what I'm putting down. We'll see, though, what happens with Cleveland. Let's hear from Myles Garrett a little bit later on. He had his first presser since getting the bag from Jimmy Haslam. I can't believe he denied the meeting with the guy.
It doesn't shock me, especially if Jimmy Haslam's like, you know what? I'm just going to throw this brick of money at his head.
Yeah, see if he'll want to meet with that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. But as I led with here, like, Max, you've been with me for a majority of the offseason doing these shows.
Mm-hmm.
Backed by popular demand, by the way.
That's right.
I have always said, since the clock hit 000 in that NFC Championship game, this was the most important offseason of the rebuild for Washington. And I think their mentality this offseason has kind of proven that to be true. They have been aggressive. What were we talking about 2-3 weeks ago? Yes, they're going to be aggressive, but what does their version of aggression look like is what we kept talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we have answers. Insert Deebo Samuel. Insert Laremy Tunsil. To me, they have done nothing but improve this football team, and they were aggressive in doing so. The thing now that I look at, and I guess this is the question we were asking weeks ago too. Remember, I kept asking, well, how do they view themselves internally? How they view themselves internally, I always thought, would heavily influence their decision-making. And based off of a trade for Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil, they view themselves as a bona fide championship contender. That's just the... We have breaking news.
What is...
I'm mad at the breaking news, though.
Oh, no.
Cleveland Farrell back. Yeah.
See, you're...
It was so underwhelming.
Your gasp...
Maybe.
And the face you made at your phone made me think that we just traded for Trey Hendrickson, and you would have heard me scream on air.
Yeah, well,
but Cleveland Farrell is back in Washington.
Ooh, 3.5 sacks, though. Yeah.
Whole lot of mid at the defensive end position.
He couldn't stay healthy, but he kind of set the edge, but he, I don't know. Cleveland was underwhelming. Cleveland, not Cleveland. I'd love to know the deal they brought him back on.
We'll hear that soon enough, I'm sure.
Yeah, we will. Oh, okay, he's back. Anywho, back to regularly scheduled program. I think the Commanders showed you how they view themselves. But as we sit here on the morning of March the 15th, a month and about 12 days out, from the start of the 2025 NFL draft, well, they will have plenty of opportunity to add talent. I think there are three major things that they have to make a decision on between now and the start of the NFL draft next month. Just three. The first one is this to me. Max, you just brought it up. Oh, gosh. Do they trade for Trey Hendrickson? That's question number one. Do they trade for Trey Hendrickson? And Max, I don't know if you've got the old Twitter app pulled up, my friend.
He's always up.
I don't know.
I'm a sicko.
I don't know if they should trade for Trey Hendrickson. But speaking of Trey Hendrickson, I got Denton Day on Thursday, I believe. Sat in for our pal Kevin Sheehan.
That he did. I produced that show.
Oh, you did produce that show. So beautiful. So you know it's coming your way. One of the three major decisions Washington's going to have to make is do you trade for Trey Hendrickson? Part of what influences that decision to trade for Trey Hendrickson is what the asking price is going to be. Our guy Denton Day had Cameron Wolf on of the NFL Network, and Cam Wolf had this to say about the potential asking price for Bengals pass rusher Trey Hendrickson.
Trey Hendrickson is available to an extent for trade, but what I've found is teams have called Cincinnati and the price has been outrageous. And one team executive told me that it was crazy ask, and that they were asking for a first-round pick and more for Trey Hendrickson, which to this team felt high because of his age, 30, and the fact that he was going to demand a contract worth more than $30 million. They also believed that price would drop at some point. They just didn't know when that would be. And so the Commanders certainly are trying their best to get the most out of their assets. Obviously, Jamar Chase, they have to pay a big contract over $40 million. T. Higgins, they'd like to keep, but they aren't really there yet for the contract. And so teams have called about him and trade as well. But Trey Hendrickson is certainly the one that seems the most gettable. We've just got to see ultimately when Cincinnati is willing to come down from that first round.
And I think what Cam said right there is the key. And we'll take your calls on this all through along at 1-800-636-1067. Trey Hendrickson, right now the asking price from Cincy is a first-round pick. Kind of the way Cam is putting it, it seems like a first-round pick plus. But Cam also says that number is going to drop. That number is, or that price, rather, is going to drop. And for that reason, I think Washington is going to still be in, or is still in, on Trey Hendrickson, because if that price changes, it may be something that is worthwhile for them. 1-800-636-1067. Washington has three massive decisions to make before the start of the NFL draft, one of which is, do you trade for Bengals pass rusher Trey Hendrickson? Cam Wolf of the NFL Network says the current asking price is a first-round pick plus that will obviously drop, though, or is expected to drop as we get closer to the NFL draft. When we come back, I'll tell you the other two massive decisions that must be made before the start of the draft. That's next on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's the Youngest and Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to noon Eastern time. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, will take you from there. Make sure you keep it locked on the Team 980 all afternoon long. Maryland Terrapins pregame coverage for their Big Ten semifinal matchup against Michigan gets going at 3 o'clock. Tip-off at 3:30. Johnny Holiday, Chris Nockey, going to be on the call for you. Terps talkie hot last night. Rodney Rice going Kanye crazy, as I like to say. 7-9 from 3, 26 points. The 7 three-pointers, ladies and gents, too shy of breaking the record for most threes in a Big Ten tournament game. So Kevin Willard's bunch, known for their defense, getting it going offensively. The Crab 5 doing the damn thing. The other thing about last night that was interesting, 11 points off the bench for Jordan Geronimo. He had his, I don't know if it's his first career three, but it was his first three of the season. And once that shot went down, I knew what was going to happen to Illinois.
It was just kind of over from the jump, yeah?
Pretty much.
I mean, their bench scoring hasn't been existent, shall we say, the past few games or past season. It's just kind of been the Crab 5.
Like, well, I remember we were doing the show a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was like a week and a half ago, when Geronimo scored. It was their first bench point since February 20th. So they against USC, I think. So
it's March 15th.
They went through some droughts. But here's the thing. And we're taking your calls at 1-800-636-1067. There are three massive decisions the Commanders have to make between now and the start of the NFL draft. First one's trading for Trey Hendrickson. Do you pull the trigger on that? Cam Wolf of the NFL Network told our pal Denton Day that the Bengals asking price right now, according to a team he talked to, was a first round pick plus. And then you have to give him a contract which could exceed $20 million or $30 million annually. So here's the thing about Hendrickson real quick. He's 100% gone. Before the weekend is over, we may have a contract extension. This is according to Diana Russini of The Athletic, by the way. Before the weekend's over, Cincinnati may come to terms with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase on a contract that, between the both of them, will exceed $70 million per year.
Good luck, man. This is the benefit of having the same agent.
Yeah, exactly. But that's why they did this, I think.
Yeah, because you can be like, it's both of us or neither of us.
Exactly. So, and I know Joe Burrow was happy about that.
Joe Burrow might be the architect
Seriously.
Behind this play.
100%. And I think, look, their plan is going to be to outscore people. But it's good to keep Joe Burrow happy, especially for an organization that has shown a reluctancy over the course of time to pay people. So, we'll see. That's the big choice. One of the big three decisions that you got to make is, do you trade for Trey Hendrickson? And we'll get my thoughts on whether or not they should do it as the show rolls on, but you got to be patient for that. The other decision is this. If you are Washington, knowing what you have accomplished this offseason, and I want to be very, very, very particular about this and specific. Knowing what you have accomplished this offseason, bringing in one of the most dynamic weapons in football in Deebo Samuel, bringing in a top five left tackle in Laremy Tunsil, beefing up the depth of your offensive line by acquiring Nate Herbig yesterday for Pittsburgh, bringing back Noah Brown, bringing back K.J. Osborne. On defense, the Dietrich Wise signing, the Jonathan Jones signing, bringing in Jacob Martin, a guy that's got experience as a 3-4 outside linebacker as well as a 4-3 defensive end. Bringing back Noah Igbinoghene. All these moves, obviously Ertz, Wagner, you get it. All these moves to me improve this football team. They are a hell of a lot better, to me at least, than what they were when the clock hit triple zeros at the end of the NFC Championship game. I don't believe this team has a glaring hole as you get geared up for the NFL draft. So the question to me and the decision you're going to have to make, everyone assumes that they are going to trade back from 29 and 61. Well, depending on who's there, you may stick and pick at both of those spots. And that's the second biggest decision to me of this Commanders offseason. Do you stick and pick at 29 and 61? Because I gave the example earlier. If that rugged, built in a laboratory ass running back Omarion Hampton is there at 29, bring him here. Bring him right.
Expeditiously.
You got to bring him here. You put yourself in a position because of the depth that you've added that you can truly go best player available in the NFL draft. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. More of me next. 1-800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to noon Eastern time. A lot to get to before we hand things over to the DOC, Rick Doc Walker. I think as we sit here on March 15th, a month and 2 weeks away from the NFL draft, month and 12 days away, really, from the NFL draft, I think Washington has gotten marketably better as a football team compared to where they were when the clock hit triple zeros on that Sunday afternoon, that brutal Sunday evening. Against Philadelphia.
I try not to think about it, too.
For that group to just give the football away the way that they did, I'll never forgive them. Honestly, that's why I'm glad Deami's gone. You cost us. I'm joking, obviously. They brought back Jeremy McNichols, though. And Austin Ekeler, who I think really cost us. But
listen, they like McNichols' pass pro. Ekeler adds a little bit of finesse out of the backfield.
Far from a lock, McNichols even makes the team. I'll say.
This is true, depending on where they go in the draft.
But depending on all that, I mean, despite all that, I think Washington's gotten better. Love the acquisitions that they've made. I know the sexy ones that jump out to everyone is Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel, but I like the Dietrich Wise signing a lot. I think bringing in a body type like Eddie Goldman as well as Javon Kinlaw is going to, you know, do a real number to this Commanders defense. I think it improves their versatility when it comes to their alignment and some of these fronts. I love bringing in championship pedigree like Jonathan Jones. I love bringing back Noah Igbinoghene. I love them bringing back Noah Brown. Like, they don't. I look across this roster. The Nate Herbig signing to me yesterday was awesome for Pittsburgh. But I look across this roster, and I don't think there is a glaring hole that exists right now. They've set themselves up to go best player available at 29 and 61. I know there is this assumption that they are going to stick and pick, but I think when I say that there isn't a glaring hole, people are going to point to defensive end. I know they are. Let me remind you all of something. Because it wasn't too long ago, and it's just how quickly we forget things. How excited were you, how geeked up were you when Nick Allegretti was signed? How geeked up were you when Olamide Zaccheaus was signed? How over the moon were you when Noah Igbinoghene was signed? You weren't. You didn't even know who they were. And think about the impact from those three guys in particular. Nick Allegretti is now a foundational piece depth-wise. He's a good guy, locker room guy. Teammates love him. I like the way he competes. He's tough. May not be the best cat. May not be the most talented dude, but he's a commander, right? Olamide Zaccheaus, who you unfortunately lost to Chicago. When they signed him, I rolled my eyes and went, okay, I mean, it's OZ. Who cares? Oz. Wink, wink. But obviously we know what type of role he ended up carving out for himself. Career year in all major statistical categories. Noah Igbinoghene. Failed first round pick that had turned into a journeyman. Still just 26, 27 years of age. So there's juice left to squeeze. Think about the roles that those three guys had. I'll add Dante Fowler to this as well. When they were signed last March, you didn't think they were going to have an impact. It's how I look at Dietrich Wise. It's how I look at Javon Kinlaw. It's how I look at Jonathan Jones. It's how I look at Will Harris. Just because they're not shopping at Neiman Marcus in free agency doesn't mean that what they're getting from the bargain box in Fashion Nova Men's isn't going to do the job. Think about this, man. They showed you last year. This coaching staff, and I noticed it from the get-go when I was first out there for mandatory minicamp at OTAs. This coaching staff has the innate ability to get the absolute best out of everybody on the roster. And I think you'll see that again this time around. 1-800-636-1067. I still think Washington will be interested in the edge rusher markets. Why? I think they'll make a choice on Trey Hendrickson, whether it's yes or no. I think when it comes to picks 29 and 61, they will make decisions come draft day. If there's an edge there that they like, they'll take them. But what I don't want them to do at 29 is take an edge rusher for the hell of it. If they're not high on the board, don't take them. See, that's what fans want to do. Draft an edge. There's got to be one available. And I'm telling you, depending on what names are there, they're going BPA. They are. If the running back that's there is higher on their board than the edge rushers that is there, they're going running back. And they should. They should. It's how good teams are built. But like I said, there are three massive decisions they got to make. First of which is, do you trade for Trey Hendrickson? Second decision is, do you stick and pick at picks number 29 and 61 overall? The other decision is this. If you're Washington, knowing what you have done to your wide receiver room, inserting Deebo Samuel, bringing back Noah Brown and KJ Osborne, you got Luke, you got Terry. Does that stop you from engaging the veteran wide receiver market? That is my question. Does that stop you from scouring the veteran wide receiver market? Because there are still some very intriguing names out there that could help, right? Stephon Diggs, Amari Cooper. There's so many different ways that they could go when it comes to the veteran free agent market. So if you're Washington, that's the other decision. Are you in on Amari Cooper? Do you pick up the phone and call Keenan Allen? Does Tyler Boyd get a buzz from your folks? Are you in on a speed guy like Mecole Hardman? Are you down for a guy in Elijah Moore that's had production elsewhere but still is young enough to where you can really maximize his potential? That's the question that Washington's got to ask themselves. Are you in potentially on Robert Woods? That's the veteran options that you have here. And last year, and he ended up being your second leading receiver for a chunk of the season. So to act as if your receiver room is set, you don't know whether it's set or not. There's a lot of stuff between now and the start of the regular season. Camp, draft, all of that. Let's open it up to you guys. 1-800-636-1067. Washington, like I said, three massive decisions to make. Do you trade for Trey Hendrickson? Do you stick and pick at 29? And are you going to engage the veteran wide receiver market? You can chime in on any of those three things at 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to our man Vic out in Ackerkeek. What's going on, Vic?
What's up, Lunel?
What's going on, brother?
Not much. So I wouldn't be mad if they trade for Trey Hendrickson. Trey Hendrickson is a proven edge rusher with the stats and the uphill climb to show his versatility, his durability, his ability to compete, and his ability to overcome adversity. So I wouldn't be mad if they did it. I trust Adam Peters. I trust their front office intelligence. But if we did not do that and we kept our number one, I wouldn't be mad if we drafted Ezeruka from Boston College.
I wonder if either of those two guys are there. Now, Mike Green is
the more... will be there.
Yeah, I think Mike Green, Vic, is the more likely guy to be there because of the off-the-field stuff.
No, I agree. Even though Ezeruka is listed a little lower than him on the big board, Ezeruka pops off the page for me on the film more than Mike Green does, a little bit.
I agree with you.
And Ezeruka has been a budding high-value player since his sophomore year. Like, you saw the climb, and you saw the performance and the productivity. But I agree with you from this standpoint that I don't hate to say this. There are a lot of casuals that call into the radio show, Lunel.
Sure.
Me and you don't always agree, but we're not casual football fans. Like, when I hear your point, you can argue your point in a thesis statement, and it would be valid. I may not agree, and you may not agree with me, but there are a lot of casuals that, who is this guy? We don't know. Shut up. You don't know anything about football. You don't know anything about productivity. You don't know anything about chemistry. You don't know anything about scheme. You don't know anything about any of that stuff. Like, for instance, I said this 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you heard me on the radio show. I said, if we don't get Miles, fine, but we need to get it. We need to get another tackle, a real left tackle, and move Brandon Coleman inside the left guard. I said the same thing. I said I believe he has the ability to be a Hall of Fame guard.
Yeah, bro, he can be nasty there.
Yes, he mauls people in the interior. When he gets his hands in, he's not letting go of you, and that's why he gets a lot of holding penalties because he's looking to get to be aggressive on the edge. You can't do that, and he's not lazy. He's working hard. He has he's coachable. You see all the good things, but he's just a tiny bit slow off the edge. And when he gets his hands on somebody on the edge, he does a good job. But his bucket step, his first move is not that quick. But inside, those are the things you want to see. And he wants to be physical. He has good feet, shoulder to shoulder in the interior. So that move alone, the intelligence of the front office to think about that move alone, it gives me confidence about the moves they've made in the free agency period up to this point. So this is why when I hear people call and say, who is this guy? Why did we get him? Blah, 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 blah. It's a lot of people you knew nothing about. You didn't know what they could do. You didn't know what they could bring to the table that contributed to us majorly this year. And that is because of the culture that we have now and the coaching we have now to put our guys, particularly on offense, in the best positions to make plays. Now, I'll leave with this. Mm-hmm. The reason why I feel we need to get an edge rusher, the reason why I feel I would like to trade for Trey Hendrickson and still keep our number one and the rest of the draft picks we have to get some high-value players on defense, because you're going to disagree with me, Lunel, and I understand. I am not sold on Joe Wicks' defensive play calling at
you've
all.
Been, yeah, you've
I
been on
not.
This since last year, so I know that's,
and I,
that's
and Lunel,
how you feel.
Lunel, I can I go in the film room. Me and you can sit in the film room, Lunel, and you may say, well, Vic, we still got to get better players. But Lunell, as a football man, I guarantee you will not disagree with anything I pull up on film. You will not.
Vic, I appreciate you as always, my brother. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, man. Look to hear from you soon.
You too, man.
1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, more of your calls. Washington with three massive decisions to make between now and the draft. Do you trade for Trey Hendrickson? Do you stick and pick at 29 and 61? And are you going to engage the veteran wide receiver market? My thoughts, your calls next in the final hour of power here on this Saturday morning in the DMV.